girls, and welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 105 of the podcast. And in just a few minutes, we are going to go out to Las Vegas and visit with my friend Marco D'Angelo, who has been red hot betting horses this spring. Turned a nice profit, not a huge profit, but turned a very nice profit in the Kentucky Derby and then smashed the Preakness just a few weeks ago. So we are going to get his insight as it pertains to the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. I'm so excited to talk to Marco and get his insights. You know what? Let's not even waste any more time. To Vegas we go. To the Las Vegas desert we go. A good friend of mine, a professional handicapper. You can check him out on Twitter at Marco in Vegas and at the website wagertalk.com. The great Marco D'Angelo joining us here on the Sharp 600. Marco, I'd start by asking you how you're doing, but you were profitable in the Kentucky Derby. You were extraordinarily profitable in the Preakness. I'd imagine your last month plus has been quite good, my friend.
Add the baseball season we're having, and yeah, I couldn't ask for any more, Joe. Well, I guess I could. I could ask for three straight wins from the Golden Knights, but you know, that would that's asking the impossible.
So greedy. I gave you a perfect opportunity to be humble, and you come on asking for more immediately.
Don't we all?
All right. So the Belmont is this weekend. Now we went 37 years between Triple Crown winners. We had Affirmed in 1978, and then we had American Pharoah a few years ago in 2015. Now we could be looking at two Triple Crown winners in just 4 years if Justify gets it done on Saturday. Is this a coincidence, or is there something different taking place in the horse racing world, perhaps with breeding or with training?
Well, Joe, I mean, this is a spot where we've been several times over the last, two decades. We've had several opportunities for the Triple Crown, but only American Pharoah was the one that was able to, crash that last door down. What I see changing a little bit, and obviously it was with Justify this year, we had never seen a horse win the Kentucky Derby since Apollo that didn't race at two. So they're giving the horses a little more time to develop, racing them a lot lighter than they used to back in the day, and that might have something to do with these horses being able to get through this grueling three-race in 5 week stretch. Remember, he didn't race at two, and we're talking about a horse now that, is still very green as far as experience goes, but he's done everything asked of him, and he'll be making just his sixth lifetime start on Saturday.
All right, what makes it so hard to win the Triple Crown? Is it the schedule that you laid out, three races in 5 weeks, or are there other major factors at play here?
Well, the schedule is the biggest part because these horses don't do that. Normally, Joe, horses will race in thoroughbred racing 4 to 5 weeks between starts. This horse is doing three of those in what would normally be, a two-race schedule. That's one. Then you throw in the three different distances. A lot of horses, they're sprinters, they're milers, they're long distance, but that's what they do, and they generally will keep entering races that are at the same distance, that they're the best at. Here, you've got to be good at three different styles of racing. The Kentucky Derby with the mile and a quarter and a 20-horse field. It's so hard to get through that. But the horse that does get through the Derby generally has an easier time in the Preakness because it's less horses in the field. I think we had 8 in the Preakness this year. And a lot of the horses that maybe finished second or third to them in the Kentucky Derby are going to bypass the Derby because the Preakness is a shorter race and prep for the Belmont, which is a longer race, and those horses are sitting in the weeds like snipers trying to, upset the apple cart, so to speak, but they will be a fresh horse. And then another factor is you'll get some horses that come in to the Belmont that haven't raced in either the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness, and those horses are really fresh, and they've been pointing strictly towards this race. And I can tell you, since 2000, Joe, there's been 6 horses that I want to refer to as new shooters that raced in neither the first two legs of the Triple Crown but found the winner's circle on Belmont Saturday.
That is a great point, because I was going to ask you, what makes the Belmont so different than the other races? Now, obviously, it's a longer race than the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, but is that the bigger factor that prevents other horses from winning the Triple Crown when they get here? Or is it the fact that you have, like you said, horses lying in the weeds that have been prepped for this race, that haven't been running, and that come out here in the optimum conditions to win?
It's more of the latter, with the horses being fresh, going against the horse that's gone through the rigors of the Triple Crown. As you remember, just a couple years ago, California Chrome was in position to win the Triple Crown. The horse that beat him was a horse that hadn't raced in either of the first two legs. And unfortunately for horse racing, we'll never forget that post-race interview with the one owner of California Chrome, where he basically was whining like a little kid, about it wasn't fair, that horse never raced in the other one. You know, that's horse racing. You pay your money to enter the race, you pay the fees, you're entitled to race in that one. But another factor, even if you jump all of those hurdles, Joe, there's still two more hurdles to jump. If you got your horse in the right position, you're here, you're able to hold off all those other horses, you've got to beat Big Sandy. And Big Sandy is the nickname for Belmont track, and it's for a reason. Its surface is different than the other tracks. It's a deeper surface that obviously has sand in it, hence Big Sandy. And that can tend the little bit deeper track to make a horse tired. The other part of it is, it's the only track in America that is a full mile and a half circumference. Two turns, and they're big sweeping turns because it's a mile and a half track. So sometimes a jockey can push the button too soon. You know, you're used to racing at normal tracks in the configuration of the tracks. Every track's a little bit different, but for the most part, they're the same. When you start to enter that last turn, jockeys know, okay, I need to be here. You know, at this point, I need to be there. If I'm a closer, if I'm a front runner, I want to start my move, whatever. When you start the turn at Belmont, you still got a long way to go, because that turn is so wide and so long that if you're making your move too soon, like you think you're at another track, all of a sudden when you come off the turn and you're looking down that straightaway, you got a lot of racetrack left to go, and there's horses coming at you, and sometimes you find yourself, the old light comes on the control panel on the gauge of the car, out of gas, and you see horses flying at you at the wire. So this race is the most important, I feel, of the three, where the jockey can make a huge, huge difference. A lot of times the horse can overcome, you know, a bad move by a jockey in the other races. This one, the jockey's got to have a good ride.
All right, let's talk about the field. 10 horses scheduled to run Saturday at Belmont. Who are the biggest threats to justify, in your opinion?
Well, the biggest one is the second favorite, and that's Hofberg, and we'll start for two reasons. He is absolutely bred for this distance. Hofberg is a horse that's out of the super sire right now, Tappet. His horses have been doing great, and he's a distance horse. But on the dam side, the mother, there's also good breeding for distance, and the mother's sire was Touch Gold. Well, if you go back in the history books and look at past Belmont winners, you're going to see Touch Gold was one of them. So this horse is double bred for this distance. And if you go back and look at his Kentucky Derby race, he had all kinds of problems in that race. And what I like about him is he's a horse that only has four lifetime starts. So he's very green. He has a license to make a big jump. When you have horses four, five, six starts, they are nowhere near their ceiling yet. So we could see him move forward in a big way. And what I liked about the race that he had in the Derby, even though he had all those problems, he got hit coming out of the gate two or three different times during the race. His jockey had to grab and steady him because he ran up on a horse that was going slower in front of him, or a horse veered out in front of him, and he had to make an abrupt move. He stopped his momentum like three times in that race. Most horses, even seasoned horses, they don't like that. They'll stop. This horse, even being green, maybe he was too green to know any better, he kept digging every time he got him started again, and he was digging in the lane. I think he's got a big chance if he's closer to the pace. He was too far out of it in the Derby. He needs to get the horse closer earlier, but in a mile-and-a-half race and only 10 horses in the field, he'll be able to negotiate that. Another horse that I like is the number 7 horse, Tenfold. This is a horse with just 4 lifetime starts, just like Hofburg, and he's coming into his own. His buyer speed figures have gone up in his every race, 87, 90, 92, 95 buyer rating. He hasn't hit a ceiling yet. He's a horse that could make a big difference on Saturday as well. Raced great in the Preakness. And again, his mom is a Tappet mare, so you got that long-distance breeding there. Those are the two that I think have the biggest shot to upset him. There's other horses that are going to get some action. Obviously, Bravazo, because he finished second in the Preakness, and a horse that's, you know, a little bit of a buzz horse, Vino Rosso, is a horse that a lot of people like. He's bred for distance. Interesting caveat with this horse. Todd Pletcher has 2 horses in this field that he trains. He's got one of the owners, Rapoli Stable, owns part of the 8, Vino Rosso, and Noble Indy, both Todd Pletcher horses. One horse is a speed horse, one horse is a closer. If you want to be a conspiracy theorist, you might use the speed horse as a rabbit to soften up, justify, and make things a little easier for the stable mate. But if you want to flip it to make it even more interesting, Noble Indy, although he's owned partly by the Rapoli Stable, the other partner on that horse is Windstar Farms, who owns part of Justify.
You see, now we're talking. This is what my radio show in the Bay Area is all about. Conspiracy theories, wild hot takes. We rarely actually get down to sports, believe it or not.
Well, you get it in horse racing too, buddy. So definitely a lot of different ways to go here with this one. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Noble Indy could hold the keys to this race with what he does. They've taken the blinkers off the horse, and this horse is a speed horse. I know from my trainer with my horses, if he tells me he's taking the blinkers off the horse, that means he wants the horse to relax. Some horses are different, but usually that means you're trying to get the horse to relax, which would say that they don't want him firing out of the gate. But I don't know. It'll be curious. I wish we had in-race wagering like we have in-game wagering, because if I saw that first quarter time, I could tell you where my money would be for sure.
In-race wagering. My God, how fast we need to be able to operate. We need to turn our brains into computer processors. A couple more before I let you go. You may have already mentioned one, but if I was looking for a potential long shot, is there any horse that might strike my fancy?
The horse that, you know, that I said Tenfold would be the long shot I like, he's at 12-1. I can tell you a horse that's a long shot that's not going to go off at what he really should go off, because there's going to be a lot of stupid money on him come Saturday, and that is the horse Gronkowski. This is a horse that's going to get bet simply because of his name and the owner. Yes, it's Rob Gronkowski bought part of this horse. He'll be there with his entourage. Brady's a big horse guy. He'll probably show up as well. And you know that they're gonna be splashing money, and everybody else is gonna jump on the story too. That horse for a morning line of 12-1 is a joke. That horse should be like 30-1 in this field.
Final question: when it's all said and done, do you see Justify as a Triple Crown winner?
It would surprise me more if he got beat, but it would not surprise me, Joe. This race, there's so many intangibles, and like I said, if we get an honest pace and Hofburg's close enough early in the race, I think he can run Justify down. But I can tell you this for my bettors, and I'll tell you, because you'll see it when I send you the email Friday night, I'm going to try to beat Justify, but I will have tickets that have Justify there so that if he does win, he doesn't run over all of our tickets. We just don't make as big of a score. But if he gets beat, then, you know, we're taking the wheelbarrow to the window with us to fill it up.
Beautiful stuff, as always. Follow him on Twitter, at Marco in Vegas. He is absolutely one of the best in the business. Professional handicapper. Check him out at wagertalk.com. Marco D'Angelo joining us here on the Sharp 600. I know you're busy. Love you, buddy. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk soon.
All right. Anytime, Joe. You know that.
Episode 105 of the Sharp 600 is in the books. A big shout out to my man in Las Vegas, Marco D'Angelo, for showing us the playbook on how to beat the 150th Belmont Stakes this weekend. Hopefully, Marco completes his own race for the Triple Crown by turning a profit in the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. As always, a big thank you to all of you for supporting this project. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. If you haven't done so already, we would greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the race this weekend, everybody. Be well, and best of luck.